वासुदेवाय
फोर्टीन चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 50
अन्तर्बहिश्चामलमब्जनेत्रम् स्वपुरुषेच्छानुगृहीतरूपम् पौत्रस्तव श्रीललनाललाभम् पौत्रस्तव श्रीललनाललामम् दष्ट्रासुरत्कुण्डलमण्डिताननम्
भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की योर ग्रैंडसन विल बी एबल टू सी इनसाइड एंड आउटसाइड द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हूज वाइफ इज द ब्यूटिफुल गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्चून द लॉर्ड कैन अस्यूम द फॉर्म डिजायर्ड बाय द डिवोटी एंड हिज फेस इज ऑलवेज ब्यूटिफुली डेकोरेटेड with earrings. Purport, it is predicted herewith that the grandson of Diti Prahlad Maharaj would not only see the personality of Godhead within himself by meditation, but would also be able to see him personally with his eyes. This direct vision is possible only for one who is highly elevated in Krishna consciousness. For the Lord is not possible to see with material eyes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has multifarious eternal forms such as Krishna, Baladev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Vasudev, Narayana, Rama, Narasimha, Varaha and Vamana. And the devotee of the Lord knows all those Vishnu forms. A pure devotee becomes attached to one of the eternal forms of the Lord. And the Lord is pleased to appear before him in the form desired. A devotee does not imagine something whimsical about the form of the Lord, nor does he ever think that the Lord is impersonal and can assume a form desired by the non-devotee. The non-devotee has no idea of the form of the Lord, thus he cannot think of any one of the above-mentioned forms. But whenever a devotee sees the Lord, he sees him in a most beautifully decorated form, accompanied by his constant companion, the goddess of fortune, who is eternally beautiful. Hare Krishna. Your grandson will be able to see inside and outside the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose wife is the beautiful goddess of fortune. The Lord can assume the form desired by the devotee and his face is always beautifully decorated with earrings. Kashyapa is telling Diti the blessings that she will achieve because of her submissiveness to him and to Lord Shiva, and due to her mood of repentance for her misbehavior. So this kind of great blessing came upon Diti for adopting the right attitude of repentance. Such a great blessing that Prahlad is going to appear in this dynasty. And specifically he is saying here that he will be such a great devotee that he will be able to see the Lord within his own heart and also outside. This statement will be seen repeated in many places in the scriptures. Antar bahischa. Lord is inside, Lord is outside also. Lord is everywhere. The Ishopanishad also you study about Lord being situated in the heart of every living being as Antaryami. And externally he is situated as the Virat Purusha, consisting of the whole universe. But the Lord can also appear in front of the devotee apart from being the whole universe. It is true that the Lord is the whole universe, or the universe is a expansion of Lord's energy. But the Lord can also appear in his beautiful form as the devotee sees him in his heart in dhyana. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti. It is said, pashyanti yam yogino. The yogi is, like one student came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was talking to him about Krishna. And the student asked, Swamiji, instead of chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, can't we just meditate? And Prabhupada asked him, how will you meditate? He said, I heard that we have to meditate within. And Prabhupada said, yes, you know how the yogis meditate within their hearts? Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogino. Within their hearts the yogis see Krishna. And not that they just look within the heart and look for some concentric circles or something. Or they go to sleep in the name of looking within. Looking within actually means seeing the personality of Godhead within one's heart. And yogis can do that by dhyan. After doing yama, niyama, pranayama, calming the senses, after calming the mind, and after stabilizing one's body and mind and senses, then one can begin to meditate on whom? The personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada said, because the Kali Yuga Vasis, their minds are extremely racing and distracted, it is better for them not to meditate within the heart. Better come to temple and see the deity form of the Lord. Prabhupada said, there is no difference between the two. Whether you meditate on the Lord within the heart or see the deity form of the Lord. And taking darshan of the deity form of the Lord is more easier and simpler for a man with distracted mind, which is racing here and there. So Prabhupada immediately cut down the idea of meditating within with no knowledge of what God is. And then the boy asked Prabhupada, then how do we know, how does the Lord look like? Prabhupada said, yes, this question you should ask. Then you can learn. When you learn in parampara, you will know what is the form on which the meditation should be done. So, that is explained by Lord Kapila to Devahuti and also by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. And not only in Srimad Bhagavatam, even in Vishnu Purana, in many other places you find your guru explaining to a disciple on what is the form that should be meditated upon. And in great detail, like you see Kapila is saying in his description, that one should not meditate on the total form of the Lord suddenly. That is simply not possible. That will be in fact impersonal, he says. Even if you take a picture of the Lord and try to meditate. He says, a devotee should be first of all merged in devotional service, he says. Merged in devotional service, a yogi sees the Lord standing, sees the Lord moving, sees the Lord sitting, sees the Lord smiling, and sees the Lord performing various activities within his own heart. After a yogi achieves this stage, then meditation starts. After this. After that, how he starts? He says one should start from the lotus feet. Then one should meditate on the thighs of the Lord. Then the hip of the Lord. Then the Lord's bosom, the chest. And the Lord's arms. And then finally the beautiful smiling face. And while describing each of these aspects, he also describes, for example, the Lord's lotus feet has many symbols. And also Lord's soles of his palms also. Palms as well as lotus feet. And each of the symbol has a meaning. Even in Krishna's lotus feet, Radharani's lotus feet also, it is not drawn for some beautification or something. Just like we draw something on the face. It's not like that. Every one of them have a very deep meaning. For example, and it is said about the Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, there is a flag. The flag represents victory. Anyone who takes shelter of the Lord's lotus feet will always attain victory over all the enemies or the obstacles that come in one's spiritual life. Similarly, there is a thunderbolt also. A thunderbolt represents just like the thunderbolt shatters the huge mountainous amount of karmic reactions that a devotee has accumulated for millions of lifetimes, how the stock of sins accumulated by the devotee, and that is shattered to powder completely when one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. You see? Similarly, in Krishna's lotus feet, there is a fish. What does the fish represent? A fish is there in the insignia of Kamadev. You have seen? Like you take Yamaraj, you take Kamadev, you take Varuna, Indra, Chandra. Everybody has one Vahan and everybody has an insignia. Like everybody has a Vahan. Ganesh ji has a rat type of Vahan. Mouse Vahan, isn't it? Lord Skanda has peacock Vahan. Similarly, everybody also has a flag in which there is a symbol. Just like Arjuna has a flag in which there is Hanuman, isn't it? Similarly, Kamadev has a flag which has a fish. And the fish in Krishna's lotus feet represents that he has subdued Kamadev. Kamadev has taken shelter of Krishna's feet. Not only that, it also has a meaning that anyone who becomes Krishna's devotee, they are also, just like the fish shows that Krishna is the supreme Kamadev. So the devotee surrender in Krishna's lotus feet. Also, just as a fish cannot live without water, without surviving in water, similarly Krishna's devotees are compared to fishes and Krishna's compared to water. Krishna's lotus feet is compared to water. So Krishna's devotees can only live in his lotus feet. You take them away, they will perish. You put them in Krishna's lotus feet, they will nourish. They will get nourished and they will flourish also. That's why you will see devotees always hanker for association of other devotees who are always glorifying Krishna. Just like the gopis are saying, Tava katamritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmashapaham. They are saying, we are like tapta jivanam, somebody living in a desert. In a desert, there is no water. One is drying up due to the scorching heat of the sun. Similarly, the material nature scorches everybody. But a devotee is like a fish who, by happily swimming in the lotus feet of Krishna's souls, one can live very happily. That is another meaning also. And yeah. There are many meanings like this. For each of the symbols, there are so many meanings like this. Yeah. And also the fish can only live in a place where there is water. Similarly, the heart of a devotee is having the juice of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna's lotus feet having the fish will be placed in the heart of the devotee only when there is bhakti juice. When there is no bhakti juice, then Krishna will not keep his lotus feet. One cannot perceive the lotus feet of Krishna in one's heart, no matter what endeavors one may make. So the juice of bhakti attracts Krishna's lotus feet to immediately occupy the heart of the devotee. That's another meaning of the fish. So in this way, there are many symbols. There is chakra. The chakra represents Kala chakra, which, tears asunder all the enemies like Kama, Krodha, Mada, Lobha, Moha, Matsarya and all these things. It's constantly revolving. Any devotee who takes Krishna's shelter, for that devotee, all the anarthas will be severed to pieces. Similarly, there is a lotus in Krishna's lotus feet also. The lotus represents Krishna's feet are always in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, which is in the shape of a lotus. So Krishna stands on the lotus of the spiritual world. That's why there is lotus in his feet. Also, the lotus has nectar and makaranda, which the juice of which is most loved by the bumblebees. So the devotees are compared to bumblebees, who are always eager to lick the honey dripping from Krishna's lotus feet. So that is why the lotus is placed in Krishna's feet. And the lotus also, any devotee who sees peacock feather will immediately remember Krishna. Similarly, any devotee who sees lotus will immediately remember Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, because she always carries a lotus in her hands. So that lotus also represents goddess of fortune, who is at Krishna's lotus feet and who connect the devotees to Krishna. She is the connector of devotees to Krishna. So there is lotus, Krishna's lotus feet. There is also a goad, elephant goad. You know elephant goad? Ankush. Ankush is actually a mouth uses a stick to control the elephant. Isn't it? Our mind is compared to a wild elephant or a maddened elephant. That is why the goad is kept in Krishna's lotus feet. By one small ankush or the goad in your hand, you can easily control a wild elephant. Otherwise, the elephant is a very difficult to control animal. Like in Kerala, sometimes they have these big functions where they have thousands of elephants come together for one procession. So that time, people bring elephants from all over India to Kerala during that function when they celebrated. So when they bring the elephant has a nature while walking in the road. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book also, it has a frivolous nature. So it will put its trunk into the shops and pull out a whole bunch of bananas and then scatter it here and there. Or sometimes the elephant will find the banana plantain trees cut and kept for decoration purpose, or like toran and all they make now. So it will just put its trunk and pull it and scatter it everywhere. So the trunk of the elephant is very loose and very frivolous. Similarly, our mind is also like, it has a frivolous nature to go in wrong directions. At the same time, it is mighty like an elephant. It's a mighty frivolous nature. If frivolous nature is little weak, you can catch by the neck and give a punch. But it is also frivolous, but very powerful frivolous nature. So such an elephant can be controlled with a goad. Just like the monkeys or dogs, they fear a stick. Similarly, the elephant fears the goad. You see, on the top of the elephant, sometimes you see a small kid, boy, sitting. And when he shows the elephant goad, the elephant is very submissive. Just very, very beautiful. Wherever he says, it will walk. Walk straight, walk straight. Turn right, turn right. So, although the elephant, is far more mightier than a small boy, but still he is afraid of the elephant goad. That's why the elephant goad is in Krishna's lotus feet, indicating that any devotee who surrenders to Krishna, his mind will immediately become controlled. Immediately. Because, as you know, Madan, I told you in one of the previous classes, Madan comes from the word madan. Mad comes from Madan. Madan. But Krishna is Madan Mohan. Isn't it? He makes Madan also mad after him. So our mind is certainly like an elephant, but it becomes mad after Krishna. Instead of controlled by the goad in Krishna's lotus feet. You see? Also, in Krishna's lotus feet, there is a crescent moon. The crescent moon, what does it indicate? I was amazed. I was reading different description about Vishnu. It is said Vishnu's toenails are like a crescent moon, it is said, which are glowing like a shine, great shine. And those who are meditating on the toenail of Vishnu, which is glowing like a moon, they can achieve liberation. Not those who are considering God impersonal. When I was in Chennai, for the first time I heard a great truth. I never heard about it before. His Holiness Bhanu Maharaj was speaking. He said an impersonalist can never achieve liberation by his own endeavor. Because, he said, the jnana that he achieves from the Upanishads is sattvika jnana, he said. That jnana is, it has a quality of sattvika. And because it is also in the modes, it's not possible for one to achieve even the Brahma Jyoti by one's own endeavors, he said. He said that sattvika jnana qualifies him for attaining liberation. but it doesn't bestow liberation, he said. It qualifies him, but doesn't bestow. What is the meaning? Like somebody, you know, qualifies in GATE exam. They got 99.9. It qualifies him to join M.Tech. But in the interview, he can be knocked out. It has happened. Sometimes somebody getting 99.9 also doesn't get into IIT. Somebody getting 95-96 gets into IIT. Because you need the grace of the interview board. Isn't it? In personal interview, on some flimsy grounds, they can throw you out. Similarly, the impersonalist, by achieving the knowledge from the scriptures, may think, now I am qualified. But they are called vimuktam maninaha. Ye anye aravindaksha vimuktam maninas tvayasta bhavat abhishuddha buddhayah. He says, you know, aruhya krachrena param padam tataha patantyadho anadrita yushmadangrayah. Which means, even the impersonalist to get his moksha, he needs the grace of the Supreme Lord, which he achieves by begging from the Lord. And when he meditates on the toenail of Vishnu, then he achieves liberation. Because he can only see the shine. He cannot see anything beyond that. He can't see the form of Vishnu. Why? Form of Vishnu is seen only by those who have bhakti in their hearts. With eyes tinged with salve of prema, one can see the Supreme Lord. With eyes tinged with only shushka vairagya jnan, one cannot see. And with eyes tinged with avidya, one can see only matter. One cannot see beyond matter. All the materialists also have a avidya anjan in their eyes. Jnanis have only the shushka vairagya jnan anjan. And the devotees have bhakti jnan anjan. Bhagavat tattva vijnan anjan they have, or prema anjan. Prema Anjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, with which they can see the personality of Krishna. Actually, it's very easy to understand this concept that depending on what type of eyes we have, we see. Like if a donkey sees a book like this, what is the best use to which it can put a book to? No, just tear off the pages and eat it. Because it cannot see it better than that. But when a devotee sees a book like Bhagavata Bhagavatam, he can benefit from it. Similarly, according to the anjan we have in our eyes, we will see Krishna. Somebody sees Krishna as an impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Somebody sees Krishna as Vishnu. Somebody will see Krishna as Krishna. And that's all by the grace of Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself. So in this way, the crescent moon on Krishna's soles of Krishna's feet represents the real moon, which you see in the sky, the full moon, has become shriveled up due to shyness. Thinking that the toenails of Krishna are shining so beautifully, what is the use of me showing the shine? So it just shrivels up and becomes a crescent moon and hides below Krishna's lotus feet. That's one of the meanings. And another meaning of the crescent moon is great personalities like Lord Shiva, who wear the crescent moon on their head, they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet also. In this way, anyone who takes Krishna's lotus feet shelter will achieve the great position like Lord Shiva in their devotional service to Krishna. That is the meaning. Also, the moon is the predominating deity of the mind. To anyone who takes Krishna's shelter will have his mind controlled by Krishna's love. That is also the meaning. So there are many meanings like this. Many, many wonderful. There are many things in Krishna's lotus feet. There are jambu fruits which indicate that all the jambu dvipasis, they constantly meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. And also, similarly, there is swastik, which is a sign of auspiciousness in Krishna's lotus feet. There is always auspiciousness for the devotee. There is no inauspiciousness at any time. Whatever happens in a devotee's life is actually arranged by Krishna. So that's the meaning. So, I don't have the picture of Krishna's lotus feet with all the symbols. Which one? Gada? Yeah. There are few more items like that. But each of the items have... Each item has meaning like this, if you study the meaning. And similarly, Srimati Radharani's lotus feet have these, some of these symbols and other symbols also, which have very great meaning also. So, when a yogi is meditating, first he meditates on the soles of the Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Then he focuses on the toenails, which are shining like a moon. And he remembers in his heart the sanctity and the holiness of the Lord's lotus feet. Because even great personalities like Lord Shiva, Shiva agreed to accept the Ganga, which was coming with a great thudding force from the heavens to the earth. And no one could accept it. Who accepted it? Lord Shiva accepted it on his jata. Imagine if somebody is putting a thudding force on your head, will you accept it? But Shiva thought it is worth accepting. Do you know why? Because it is Charanamrit. It is Charanamrit coming from, because Lord Vamanadev, when he took his lotus foot and cracked the shell of the universe, the Viraja waters, it flowed in and washed the feet of the Supreme Lord, and then it came down as Ganga. That's what is Ganga actually. That's why Ganga is so pure. So when Shiva saw that he has the opportunity to accept Charanamrita on my head, he thought no matter what force it comes from, sometimes the pujari is taking water and throwing the audience, especially if it is a chill winter season. Some people are in two minds, whether to hide behind or to come in the front. Already you are shivering and he is also throwing chill water. But those who know that it is Charanamrita of the Lord, it's very nice, it's offered to Lord. It's a pure waters which is offered to the Lord, then they go and they accept it, isn't it? Similarly, Shiva also accepts this great force which is coming on his head because it is Charanamrita Supreme Lord. So one should meditate on the holiness of the Lord's lotus feet and also on all the symbols which are present in Krishna's lotus feet, which have the great potency to shelter the devotee. Like in Krishna's lotus feet, there is umbrella, which I forgot to tell you. There is umbrella also. The umbrella represents Govardhan Hill, which Krishna lifted and gave shelter to all his devotees. That's what the umbrella represents. Also, umbrella means generally the kings have umbrella above their head, not ordinary people. You have seen when kings are sitting, somebody holds umbrella. Similarly, a devotee will become like a king by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. He will conquer his senses, he will purify his mind, he will stabilize his intelligence in a unidirection of Krishna's shelter. In this way, a devotee will become carefree from all the bondage of the material world and he will live like a king who has umbrella on his head. And a devotee's umbrella is Krishna's lotus feet only, because umbrella is already there. You can just keep Krishna's feet above, not expect another umbrella. So, yeah, that is also the meaning. Also, umbrella means the threefold of material miseries will not attack a devotee. Devotee becomes tapatrayon mulanam dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmacharanam satam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that the path of devotional service uproots all the threefold miseries, adhyatmikati, bhautikati, devika, everything for the devotee. Similarly, there is also a triangle in Krishna's lotus feet. A triangle represents that a devotee will be free from three modes. He will be free from threefold miseries also. So, in this way, first one should meditate on the lotus feet itself for a very long period of time, like that he says. Because Prabhupada says, one who is not accustomed to serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord has no eligibility or qualification to see the smiling face of the Supreme Lord, Prabhupada says, without rendering service. But most people don't know. Many people who are not having the true knowledge of science of bhakti, many people sing, "Hey Bhagawan, darshan de do." This kind of Hindi songs they sing many times. They challenge, they call the Lord immediately to come and appear in front of them. So that kind of attitude is not a Gaudiya Vaishnava attitude. Gaudiya Vaishnava attitude means you don't demand Krishna to come and appear in front of you. Yesterday I was telling this one beautiful story of Ramanuja I heard recently. And there was one Somayaji, a very great devotee of the Supreme Lord, who was such an advanced devotee that when he would sing, the Lord would come out of the altar and start dancing for everyone to see. Can you imagine? He was such a popular and famous devotee. Who could attract the Lord to come and dance? So, one day, Ramanuja, of course Ramanuja also knew how great devotee the Swamiyaji was. One day Ramanuja told Swamiyaji that, please ask the Supreme Lord, because Swamiyaji used to talk to the Lord directly, face to face, and ask the Lord, and Lord would answer his questions. Can you imagine how advanced he must have been? So Ramanuja asked, please can you find out, when will one return back home, back to Godhead? So then he went and asked the Lord next day, my dear Lord, please say, when will Ramanuja return back to Godhead? He asked him. He thought that Ramanuja wants to know. And the Lord smiled and said, oh, Ramanuja will come back to me in this very life. There is no doubt about that. So he went and told Ramanuja, don't worry, you will go back to Godhead in this life. Then Ramanuja told him, that is all right, thank you for the information. But I wanted you to ask for yourself, when will you return back to Godhead? Swamiji was wondering, is there any question about it? I am seeing the Lord, he is dancing for me, and he speaks to me. What more do you think one has to do in life? Anyway, because Ramanuja said it, Swamiji went. Next day he approached the Lord and asked the question. My dear Lord, Ramanuja suggested me to ask you this question. I hope I will be coming back to you in this very life, is it not? And Lord said, definitely not. Really? Why? What? He burst into tears. And he asked, what is the reason? I thought I have already achieved you. The Lord said, you see, Ramanuja's devotion is by far superior. Because his bhakti is completely unconditional. Whereas your bhakti is conditional. You, every time when you sing a song, you expect me to come and dance for your pleasure. Of course I do dance, you know, because you demand me to do that, I do it. But that's not a very high form of surrender. Yeah, highest surrender is one where a devotee doesn't make any demands from the Lord, but simply wants to love and serve and surrender to the Lord. So he said, if you want to achieve that type of devotion to me, then you should take shelter of Ramanuja, he said. Immediately, Swamiyaji ran to Ramanuja and clasped to his feet and put his head on his feet and surrendered to him. So, why I was saying this, these two are pure devotees. You know, Swamiyaji is a pure devotee, Ramanuja is a pure devotee. But amongst pure devotees also there are categories. There are higher and there is best and more best and most best and even more best. There are many, many levels like that. So, a devotee doesn't demand the Lord to appear in front of him. He doesn't say that. Or a devotee doesn't want to show the world. Just wait and watch. I'll bring the Lord and show you. He doesn't do any magic to show the world. Because the devotee knows that whenever the Lord wants to give his darshan, he will give. Like Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj is reciting that famous verse, Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhuteshvakileshu chatmanah adrishyatat adbhutarupamudvahan stambe sabhayam namrigam namanusham. In this beautiful verse, it is said, Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. My dear Lord, in order to keep the promise that you gave to your devotee, you have appeared from out of the pillar as Lord Narasimha. One meaning of this verse is that my father asked me, where are you? And I told my father, you are everywhere. Lord Hari is everywhere. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati. My devotee sees me everywhere, Krishna says, which means in every atom and space between the atoms and in the heart of every living being, a devotee is seeing the Antaryami Lord resting in every jiva's heart. So, because Prahlad was seeing Lord Vishnu as Antaryami in the heart of everybody, he was seeing him everywhere, isn't it? Whereas Hiranyakashipu could not see the Lord even in his own heart also, because people who are inimical to the Lord, they can't even see him in their own heart. Even all of us now, we have turned away from the Lord with a desire to enjoy the world. To the degree we remain bahirmukh, to that degree we can't hear the voice of the super soul within our own heart. Although he is speaking, he is actually calling us to turn to him. He is actually willing to give knowledge. So we call him as an inner compass. Actually, ordinary people, they call it as conscience. They call it. Devotees call him as super soul with full knowledge. Super soul is what the ordinary people call as conscience. Conscience means what? Like, for example, you are going to do a wrong thing. Immediately there is a sound from inside. Hey, don't do it. Don't become mischievous. This is not proper. This is illegal, illicit. It's improper. But some people look here and there when no one is around. They think they can do it. Like, you know, stealing someone else's property or breaking a regulative principle, all these things. So, even after hearing the voice of the super soul, if somebody neglects it or remains careless about it, then what happens? Then conscience becomes blind, it is said. When conscience becomes blind, then you don't hear the sound anymore. Like, you know, when the sound keeps coming again and again, if we are alert to it and we act on the good instruction we get from within, then the voice of the super soul keeps on becoming increased more and more. Even for a small distraction or deviation you do, immediately you will get a signal. Like you see, in the Western countries, they have this smoke sensor. As soon as there is a smoke, immediately there will be sound. Big sound. And immediately there will be water which will come in order to put out the fire. In companies also, in houses also, many places, because they have wooden houses and all, they have in many places, bungalows, wooden bungalows and all. Like in San Diego or somewhere, I heard in one house, they called some Hare Krishna devotees and they were doing havan. When they put the havan, smoke started coming. Immediately, sound and water started pouring. And they asked, what happened? What happened? Everybody was running here. And the devotee said, because I did yajna, I think rain is coming now. Then it started coming. So, this smoke sensor, it is ultra sensitive. Little smoke comes, immediately it will make sound. You will see in companies in Pune also they have it. Similarly, when a devotee, when he gets a sound from the conscience and he acts very carefully, attentively, then the super soul starts speaking to him. And he will immediately tell a devotee, this route which you are taking, probably, you don't know, this will lead you to hell. It's very dangerous. If you are not aware, better you consult with your seniors, consult with your guru, immediately. And the devotee wants to get more understanding. Then he goes to other devotees and learns how I was heading towards hell. I was saved. Like that. So, yes, super soul is speaking surely from within the heart to everybody. And when you cannot hear the super soul, then what we do? We take shelter of guru's instruction, who is the external manifestation of super soul. The super soul sound manifests through the lips of the spiritual master, which is more easy for us to access. Because inside sound, we don't know whether it's coming from mind or from intelligence or from ego or from super soul. And there are so many sounds coming from inside, we don't know. Better hear from the guru and follow it properly. So, in this way, when a devotee prays to the Lord, he doesn't demand him to appear in front of him. A devotee is willing to wait as long as Krishna wants him to wait to receive his darshan. Rather, a devotee is more eager to check oneself. What am I doing? Am I doing sufficiently enough? We can never say we are doing our best. We always have scope to do better. So, as the devotee is meditating on the lotus feet, that's what Prabhupada says. Not Prabhupada says, the Bhagavatam says. Prabhupada also says in the purport. But in Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says that one should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long period of time. It says, amongst all the different parts, which is the part we have to meditate the most? The lotus feet. In our Andal Tirupavai, one of the songs, you must have seen the picture there. There is a huge lotus feet of Krishna. On either side of which there are gopis dancing. You must have seen that picture. Which means a devotee should always contemplate on this picture of oneself below Krishna's lotus feet. Even Brahma tells the same thing to Priyavrat Maharaj. My dear Priyavrat, you put yourself in between the two lotus feet of Krishna, below the soles of Krishna's lotus feet. You know, there is some portion there where they generally keep the rose. Pujari keeps there. That is the place you have to take shelter. Like that, who told? Brahma is telling to Priyavrat. If you keep yourself there, you are most safe. Yatpada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gratitam udgratayanti santaha tadvannariktamatayo yatayo piruddha shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. This verse says, yatpada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya. Krishna's lotus feet are like the petals of a lotus flower. If one takes shelter of that feet, he says, vilasa bhaktya. Like we have Raja Vilas, who delights in Vrindavan. Similarly, we have Bhakti Vilas, one who delights in Bhakti, in the lotus feet of Krishna. So, when one is delighting like that, he says, the waves of sense gratification which come in this world and attack a living entity, those waves will stop. And the whole ocean will become like a small puddle, like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf, like that. Whereas for a jnani, these waves will repeatedly attack him and knock him down from his transcendental position. He says, but by actually taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, actually Prabhupada said the meaning is to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, which comes as sound vibration, translating Krishna's lotus feet dust. Krishna's lotus feet dust particles come from the lips of a pure devotee, in the form of instruction and in the form of guidance, in the form of description about Krishna, reminding the living entities of their eternal servitorship to Krishna and taking them back to Him. That's the meaning. So, then after meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, gradually one should meditate on the thighs of the Lord. Especially the Lord's thighs, which are said to be the source of all energy. That is very beautiful when He sits on Garuda. When Vishnu sits on Garuda, you see where Gajendra Moksha, you will see above Gajendra's head, you will find Lord Vishnu is sitting on the back of Garuda. When He is sitting, He appears even more elegant and very beautiful. Similarly, when Ugra Narasimha is about to jump off from the pillar, his thighs are bent. Have you seen? So when one sees the bent thighs of Lord Narasimha, one should understand His compassion for Prahlad and His eagerness to destroy anyone who will harm His devotee. So you will see Lord Ugra Narasimha is about to jump off from the pillar. So the thighs of the Lord is the source of all the Shaktis. And one should meditate on that. And then one should meditate on the navel of the Lord, which is the source of the entire universe. All creation comes from the Lord's navel. And He wears a jeweled belt on His hips. And then one should meditate on the bosom of the Lord, the chest of the Lord, which is also the residence of Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmiji. And all the different energies and Shaktis, powers, they rest in the Lord's chest also. Lord has millions of Shaktis. Three of them are prominent. Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, Tatasa Shakti. They are prominent. But there is Cha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti. All Shaktis, including the electrical Shakti, chemical Shakti, physical Shakti, kinetic Shakti, potential Shakti. All of them rest in Lord's chest. We know names of few of them. But there are millions of Shaktis. They rest in Lord's chest. One should meditate on that. And in that Lord's chest, there is a beautiful pearl necklace which the Lord wears. Shining pearl necklace. Those pearls represent the pure devotees who are always kept in the bosom of the Lord, very dearly by the Lord. Out of His, just like Lakshmiji, He keeps in the chest. Similarly, He keeps His pure devotees in His chest. Then one should See the Lord's hands decorated with Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. And a yogi meditates on each and every spokes of the Lord. The wheel of the Lord. The conch shell is a sign of auspiciousness. Similarly, the Kaumoduki, Gada, that is for the demons. It's tainted with blood after killing the demons. So, Lord has two items for the devotees and two for the demons. Like the lotus and conch for the devotees. And the Kaumoduki, Gada and Chakra. That's for the demons. So, Lord carries. One should meditate on Lord's Parakramata and Lord's activities, which Lord does with these weapons. And then one should come to the smiling face of the Supreme Lord. And his ears are decorated with shark-shaped earrings. And he has a kasturi tilakam lalata patale. He wears a beautiful kasturi tilak, shining tilak on his forehead. And his eyes are like lotus petals. And his cheeks are shining. And his cheeks are so smooth and shining that the shark-shaped earrings are reflecting on the cheeks. And Lord has curly locks of blackish hair, which are also glowing black and transparent also. He says, they are like that. They are very attractive. One should meditate on that. And there is a mukut helmet placed on Lord's head, not like the helmet which we use. Prabhupada uses the word helmet for the Western audience. But Lord uses mukut. You all know what is mukut. Crown, Lord wears a crown on his head, which is having many diamonds studded in it, shining very beautifully. So, there are beautiful verses. One verse which Kapila says,
Yatri Niketa Alibhi Parisevyamanam Bhutyasvaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Meena Dvayashrayamadik Shipadav Janetram Dhyayen Mano Mayamatandrita Vulla Sadbru.
He is saying, in a beautiful pond, if there is a beautiful lotus on which there are some swarm of bumblebees, black big bumblebees you have seen, which are hovering over the lotus. And if there is a couple of fishes, pair of fishes on either side, and that whole combination will be put to shame, he is saying, in front of the beautiful face of Lord Vishnu. Because Lord Vishnu's face is compared to a lotus. And his two eyes are compared to two fishes. And his blackish hair is compared to a swarm of bumblebees which are hovering over the lotus. So, he says that Lord's face is so beautiful. And then he is saying, the rows of teeth, they are compared to rows of jasmine buds, kept in a row. Sometimes when you make a garland, put them in a row. Very beautiful it looks. And he says the teeth are in what color? They are actually pinkish. How the teeth are pinkish? Because they are white, but they are rendered rosy by the pinkishness from the lips. So they appear pinkish. And the Lord's cheeks are shining with the Makara Kundala. When the Lord's Kundala is moving like this, it is shining on his cheeks. And there is a beautiful smile, he says. Vishnu is not morose. He is always happy. We say, Ami Bada Dukhi, Toma Bada Sukhi, we say. Lord is always Bada Sukhi, we are always Bada Dukhi. Nityananda, we say, Aha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, Toma Kanakara Ami Bado Dukhi. So, we are always morose in this world. Why we have become morose? Because of the threefold miseries, because of the fears. The victory flag in Krishna's lotus feet also makes one free from fear also, he says. It makes one free from fear and gives one victory, it is said. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Similarly, Tato Jayam Udiraye. We said, no? What that was? Narayanam Namaskatyam, Naranchaiva Narottamam, Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Jayam means victory. By study of Bhagavatam, one becomes victorious. By chanting holy name, one becomes victorious. Both ways. Similarly, and when you get victory, you are free from fear. So in the next verse, after giving the description of Lord's face, he is saying,
Hasam hare ravanathakila lokativra shokashru sagara vishoshana atyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya bhrumandalam munikrite makaradvajasya.
He is telling hasam means smile. Like we say mandahasam, muskan. That is called hasam.
Hasam harer.
Harer means Lord Hari's smile. Should be merited upon. Laughter. That's the word used in the translation there. One should see Lord Hari's laughter.
Avanata akila loka tivra shoka ashru sagara vishoshana. He says, the shoka ashru sagara.
Every living entity due to its moroseness and problems in the material world is crying ocean of grief, ocean of tears. It's like a sagar. So much they cry. But that ocean of tears can be dried up by seeing the laughter of Lord Hari. That's why people come to temple. Many people don't know why they are coming themselves. When they come and see the beautiful smile of Krishna, then their anxieties are finished immediately. Because Lord Hari is so confident and he is so jolly. In fact, he is jolly forever. At all times, 24/7. He has no anxiety. Because he is rasa vigraha. He is the bhandar of all the rasa. Just like a mango, amras is so delicious. Similarly, the Lord's demeanor or disposition is always one of cheerfulness. There is, like, you know, even when he is killing demons, also Prabhupada says, at that time also Krishna doesn't become fearful or morose or something. Very joyfully he kills demons. Just he puts his hand into some demon's mouth and he kills. It's not just tears the beaks and he kills. Even when he was sucking milk from Putana's breast, you know, neither did he increase his size, nor did he become frightened or something. He just sucked milk and he was just lying on the top of her body till the elderly gopis came and climbed and picked him up. So, Krishna very playfully, he is playful at all times. You see, when he is walking in Mathura, Kubja is coming and Krishna and his friends are walking and he is commenting and joking with his friends. He is telling, hey friends, look at this girl. He is saying, oh lady, Trivakra, her name was Trivakra. How tall, young and beautiful you are looking. Like that he said. She was actually very short. She was also very ugly looking. And she was also bent, kubdi, like this. And Krishna was joking with her. Of course, he told her, if you offer this chandan to me, you will become fortunate. And she did. And she became fortunate. So, you will see, Krishna is always in a jolly mood. One time, when he gave the Parijata tree to Satyabhama, then he looked at Rukmini, that she will have some insecurity problem. That, you know, he gave only one flower to Rukmini before. Now he has given one full tree to Satyabhama. Then he looked at Rukmini, but Rukmini did not make any complaint at all. Nor did she become angry. Then Krishna thought, what is this? You know, I want to see her angry form. Because he is always too mild. Let me try to make her angry. So one day, he told her, my dear Rukmini, there were many, many kings who were trying to obtain your hand, wanted to marry you. And I wanted to show to the world that I will fight against them and defeat them. That's why I defeated all of them. And in the course of defeating them, I was forced to marry you, so I married you also. Actually, my goal was not to marry you, my goal was to defeat them. But in the course of defeating them, I also got your hand, I married you. When Rukmini heard it, she was doing chamar at that time. She dropped the chamar and fell on the ground. Thaat! She fell on the ground. Immediately Krishna jumped off and he extended two more hands outside. Because four hands are needed, you know, hands to take the water and sprinkle and lift up Rukmini also. And immediately he sprinkled the water and lifted up Rukmini and then made her sit and asked,
I was just joking with you. You see, for a husband who returns home in the evening from the office, what other enjoyment is there other than joking with his wife, something like this? All day I have been in the sabha, so much boring management issues. Now I am coming in the evening, just I wanted to have some fun with you. I spoke some joking words and you took it so seriously. I was just trying to incite anger in you. But you find it like this, he spoke. So in this way, you will find Krishna is always in a jovial mood, you will find. Like you see, when Ashwatthama was captured and brought in front of, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Draupadi and all of them, there is a very special verse there which says, Arjuna's eyes were compared to coppery balls. And Krishna's eyes are called Kamalaksha, lotus eyes. And Prabhupada writes there, the living entity oftentimes becomes prey to Rajoguna. Whereas Lord Krishna, even in such a tense situation of Ashwatthama should be killed or not and is captured and brought, the Lord's eyes never, you know, are afflicted by passion. He is always in a transcendental mode. He is beyond the three modes. He is always, Krishna is smiling and telling Arjuna, Arjuna, now you decide whether to kill Ashwatthama or to spare him. One party is saying don't, another party is saying do. Now you decide. And Krishna is just very jolly, relaxing behind, while saying this. You know, because he has no anxiety at all. He is always smiling in all situations. When Rukmi was killed by Balaram, Krishna was smiling also. He has no fear. And nobody can kill Krishna. Nobody can defeat Krishna. There is no history. Nobody can do that. That's why he has no fear. Generally, we people fear in this world. Why? Because our body is damageable body. Somebody can cause some damage to our body. Also, we have to earn favors from somebody in this world. Is it not true? So, we have to make friendships in this world for earning favor. People do that in this world. Whereas Krishna, nobody can give any favor to him. He is the source of all favors. Isn't it? And there is no danger for him. So, he doesn't have to fear anyone in this creation. You see? So, one should know the nature of Krishna. And by knowing the nature of Krishna, how he is ever jubilant, is always playing with his covered boys in the forest of Vrindavan, joyfully, or reciprocating love with his mother Yashoda, or dancing with the covered girls, gopis. Krishna has no anxiety. At all times he is joyful. So one should know the nature of Krishna and see the deity form of Krishna with his smiling face. The yogi also sees the smiling face of Vishnu. And that smile gives great confidence to the yogi. And he can evaporate all his sufferings. All the shoka, shoka, moha, everything can be evaporated by seeing that smile. And then by seeing the eyebrows of the Lord, one's kama vasanas can be evaporated. He says, the Lord's eyebrows are like a arched bow. There is a verse Kapila says in another place, balam me pashyamayaya streemayya jayino drisham yakaroti padakrantan bruvijrimbena kevalam. He says, even the king of the world like Alexander, when he sees the moving eyebrows of a beautiful woman, when she moves her eyebrows, he will fall on his hands and knees at her feet. Not lotus feet. At her feet. And he will become a victim of maya. Isn't it? Because the eyes of a woman are the repository of lust. That is why in Ravana's Antapur, there were many, many queens, thousands of them. They used to use more than 40 type of cosmetics for the eyes. People put some bluish thing in the eye or some greenish thing in the eye. And they also mark it and show, just like we put highlighter in the books. They highlight the eyes and say, here are the eyes, please see here. See. Highlight. So when one looks at the eyes, one becomes lusty. So in the Vedic times, we while talking to a woman, a brahmachari never looks at the eyes of a woman. You should always look elsewhere and talk. Or look down and talk. We don't talk because if one awakens, one should see every other woman as a mother. Is it not true? So, but the eyes of the woman which attract even the king of the world to fall on his hands and knees, those eyes will become unattractive. For a devotee who sees the beautiful eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with its arched eyebrows, when one sees that, which is like, actually, Madan, you know, Madan has got a sugarcane bow and flower arrow, which he sends to all the people in the world. Tuck, it comes and pierces the heart. That's how people put a heart and arrow. That is, Madan has sent it, generally. But we are fortunately having Madan Mohan with us. So we can defeat Madan. So when you see Madan Mohan's, when Madan sees Madan Mohan's eyebrows, he himself faints. And he got in his own heart. So Krishna pierces his heart with his beautiful eyebrows. You see? But somebody may say, Prabhuji, I have seen Kunjibehari, still I am feeling lusty. That means you have not seen. Because we are so much clouded with lusty thoughts of the world. That is why he says, the yogi surcharged with devotional service should see the Lord standing, moving, sitting, lying down. Each of it has meaning. Standing means Vishnu, isn't it? Moving means Lord Krishna is riding the chariot of Arjuna, is it not? The Lord sitting, there are sitting postures, Rajagopala in South India, you will find. There is the Lord lying down as Ranganath, is it not true? You can see. So a yogi sees the Lord in different postures. And his heart surcharged with devotion service. We have to see the Lord in our minds even before we go up, even before one meditates on him in his heart. That is why the first verse begins like that in the series of meditations which are given there. And then yogi can see. But purpose is, this type of meditation which is explained there is very difficult. So it is better that one goes to a temple of Krishna and sees the form of Krishna while reciting the holy name. And Prabhupada says the holy name should be recited very loudly, because the conditioned soul has a tendency to think about other things if the sound is not loud enough. When the holy names are loudly recited, when the kirtans are sung, and the mind gets hooked to the sound vibration. And by hearing sound vibration, like we are singing Jayarada Madhava, actually one cannot artificially picturize what is happening in Braja within one's own mind by artificial meditation. But when one increases one's devotion, every word in the song will carry meaning for a devotee. When the Prabhupada said, the whole Vrindavan is there in this song. You see? So, similarly, there are Rupa Dhyanam, which Rupa Goswami explains. There is, just like we do Naam Uchar and chanting of the whole name, there is also Rupa Dhyanam in very advanced stages. Where there is Rupa Dhyanam first and then comes Leela Dhyanam, which comes later. But when devotee advances, these things become more natural and easy for a devotee. Here specifically, I was telling you in that verse, Satyam Vidhatum Nijabritya Bhashitam. The Lord wanted to make the word of his devotee true. And who is the devotee? Prahlad is talking about, is he saying about himself, Nijabritya, Lord's own devotee? If you say Nijabritya is Prahlad, then it will be like self-praise. Prahlad is saying, my dear Lord, I told you to appear and you appeared. Actually, that Nijabritya is Narada Muni. In another place he says that Nijabritya is Brahmaji. Brahma told all the devatas, don't worry, Lord will very soon appear and kill the demon. There's nothing to worry, Brahma told, so the Lord appeared. Ananda Nijabritya is Narada Muni, by whose blessing Prahlad became a pure devotee. So Prahlad says that those pure devotees promise that you will appear and you have appeared. Like that he says. That's the actual meaning. Prahlad means. And we are talking this verse, we can also take it as Prahlad. For the sake of Prahlad, Lord Vishnu appears from the pillar as a Narsingha Dev. Like that he appears. Yaktim cha bhuteshu akileshu chatmanaha adrishyatat adbhutarupam udvahan. Adbhutarupam, he says. Lord appeared in adbhutarupam, mysterious form, which was never seen before by the common people. Have you ever seen a lion with a human-like body walking in two legs? You only see a lion walking on four legs. Or you see a human being, but you never see a human being with a lion's face. This combination was extremely rare. Nobody has seen it. That's why Namrigam Namanusham, he says. He appeared in this amazing form. Even Hiranyakashipu was wondering, what is this strange form? he was roaring with a sound which was like cracking the shell of the universe. That cracking sound came. Huh? It was so frightening. Huh? It was creating terror in the hearts of everybody. Huh? Sometimes you see, on a rainy day, there is a thunder clap in the sky. Huh? Immediately children are screaming and closing, plugging their ears and running into the homes and shutting the door, windows, everything, so that the thunder will not fall. People fear. Similarly, when Lord Narasimha made this sound, even all the demigods, everybody ran here and there saying that our buildings are going to be destroyed. Where is the sound coming from? Everybody got frightened. Then, so in this way, Lord Narasimha appeared in this form. Now here one very interesting thing is said. The Lord appears in a form that is pleasing to the devotee. This is so much misunderstood by modern day so many so-called religionists. Because of this, there is yatomat tatopat. You know, you can worship any form you like because God can appear. Srijami aham, the Lord says. So they say that Srijami means the Lord can appear in any form. People think like that. It's not that Lord will appear in any concocted form. Prabhupada says Lord's form can never be imagined by a devotee. A devotee knows the forms of the Lord, he says. And out of that form is attached to one of the forms. And in that form the Lord appears, he says. And in case the Lord appears like Narasimha, actually Narasimha's devotee is Prahlad already. But even if Prahlad didn't know Narasimha, Lord appears as Narasimha and then the Narasimha form is revealed to the world. People know it. But there are fixed forms which are explained as Vishnu Tattvas. Only Lord appears like Lord appeared as Kurma, because that was necessary to give stability to the mountain. To go under the mountain, it was suitable. And the Lord was giving the foundation. That's why devotees worship Kurma Dev for stability in spiritual life. If one is feeling very weak in spiritual life, one can pray to Kurma Dev, please give stability to my spiritual life, just like you gave stability to the Mandara Parvat. Isn't it? Similarly, the Lord appeared as Varaha. Why? Because Varaha is a form of a boar, transcendental boar. Varaha, such boars can go into dirty regions like the gutter. So the Garbhodak waters which are below, the boar could enter into those waters and sniff and find out the earth. And pick up the earth and put it on in his tusks and come flying out. So there are various reasons why Lord assumes this type of forms. Because one is the form that he assumes is very suitable to do that particular act. And the form that he assumes is very pleasing to the heart of his devotees. His devotees, Lord creates great thrill in the hearts of the devotees. There is adventure and thrill also when he comes. Like you know when from Brahma's nose, zoom like that when Varaha came. Isn't it? And even Brahma didn't know who he was. And then the Lord revealed to them who he was. And then he performed such a wonderful pastime. His activities are called Adbhuta Kriya. Adbhuta Karmanaha. Adbhuta means they are very pleasing. Just like you see Mohini Murthy very beautifully walked across and then picked, you know, all the demons gave her the kalash and she distributed to devatas. And then after it was over, immediately she, you know, it turned into Vishnu. And taking the Shankar Chakra Gada Padma in the hand, again looked at the demons and demons are watching, hey, this is Vishnu who came from a woman. Vishnu said tata and went away. Finished. Now they were defeated completely. How, what Adbhuta Kriya it is. Adbhuta Karmanaha. Mysterious. Miraculous. One should be thrilled. So, Lord actually wants to attract the living entities towards him to take them back to Godhead. So, he shows such activities. It's not that only here he shows. In spiritual world also, naturally his activities are ever fresh and ever increasingly mysterious. This is arranged by the Leela Shakti. The Leela Shakti arranges situations and the Lord also performs this kind of mysterious different activities. Adbhuta Karmanaha is called. They are very pleasing. In this way, the Mayavadis and impersonalists, they imagine a form to use it as a stepping stone to go to Brahma Jyoti. Those are useless, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says, imagination leads to imagination, leading to further imagination, Prabhupada says. Imagination leads to another imagination, leading to further imagination. It's good for nothing. Let Mayavadis keep their imagination with themselves. It is good for nobody. Because we believe in the facts, not in beliefs.
and the facts are these forms, which are all completely spiritual. Krishna, Baladev, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Vasudev, Narayana, Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana, and all these Vishnu forms. So these forms, and amongst these forms, the devotee becomes attracted to one of the forms. Like if one is attracted to Ram, or one is attracted to Krishna, one is attracted to Vishnu forms. So a devotee develops attachment, Prabhupada says, to a particular form. And then a devotee aspires, will I get a chance to serve the Lord in this particular form? And then the Lord arranges for the devotee to get a guru who will guide him further. He sends a guru. Like Sri Vaishnavas, they accept Vishnu as their Lord of their hearts. So then a devotee is connected to Sri Sampradaya to worship Vishnu. If somebody is attracted to Krishna form as a Balakrishna, he is connected to the Vallabha Sampradaya or Pushtimarga Sampradaya. For them, the whole meditation is on Krishna's Balya Leela. Somebody is attracted to Madhuriya Bhakti, and they are sent to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, where the most mysterious, most deep, pristine, pure pastimes of Krishna and the gopis is explained to the devotees. And in this way, something which is not easily understandable becomes understandable to the devotee when he connects to a parampara properly. And then he gets access to service for the Lord. In this way, the Lord shows himself to his devotee in one of the forms that the devotee becomes attached to. And then the devotee gets to see that Lord's form, and the devotee is extremely grateful for the Lord's darshan. The devotee considers himself utterly unqualified. Now, how does Krishna give his darshan? Generally, our understanding is, you know, you are practicing, suddenly one day, Krishna came in the front and stood, playing on his flute. Like that we generally think. Actually, Krishna reveals himself in installments in a devotee's life gradually, little by little by little. And the graces of the Lord come in various forms. The first installment of Krishna's grace comes as deep satisfaction in the heart of a devotee. Or whatever comes of its own accord, the devotee is satisfied. And another grace of the Lord is a devotee becomes deeply attached to the different limbs of devotional service. And he delights in engaging in those devotional activities. Like practicing, preaching and worshipping the Lord. And rendering different type of services to him with great love. And one develops a taste for this type of activities. Then as the devotee advances, there is an excitement of anticipation. To thinking about the prospects of rendering more and more devotional service. And a devotee sees Krishna's qualities reflecting in other devotees. So he becomes attached to the society of devotees. And he admires different devotees for different Krishna's qualities manifesting through them. In this way, a devotee feels, you know, why should I go to spiritual world? This is spiritual world. A devotee feels the spiritual world descending into the material world. And the devotee feels jolly. That is why a devotee can think, you know, whether I am in hell, I am in heaven, or in Apavarga, it makes no difference because this is itself spiritual world. A devotee can experience that type of feeling. Prabhupada says, a devotee can experience what is liberation even while being in the body. A devotee can experience that. He becomes completely freed from all vices. A devotee becomes completely pure. He becomes a transparent vehicle carrying Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy of the parampara, and just distributes it freely to everybody joyfully. He becomes equal to all living entities. He doesn't do any pakshapat. A devotee doesn't delight in dosh katha. He doesn't delight in Vaishnava ninda. In this way, as the devotee progresses, there are Krishna's revelation comes in various ways, various forms in a devotee's life. And then Prabhupada says, in this way, as a devotee becomes a jivan mukta, a devotee can feel the presence of Krishna, Prabhupada says, even before seeing him. One can feel the presence of Krishna when one devotee is. In the Bhagavatam, there is a word which says, Vuruswanaha. The Supreme Lord Krishna is moving through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, secretly behind the verses of Bhagavatam, he says. The meaning of this is what? When you read the Bhagavatam with Shraddha, speak it or hear it with great Shraddha, then one can at once see Krishna revealed in one's heart. In this way, the heart of the devotee becomes Vrindavan even before Krishna shows his form to the devotee. In this way, just like Kapila says,
He says that merged in devotional service, my devotee can see my form, he says. So this is the way we qualify ourselves to see the Lord. And then the Lord will give darshan to the devotee. The spiritual world, we will exactly see him the way we want to see him and serve him. As somebody is attracted to Dwaraka Krishna, somebody is attracted to Vrindavan Krishna, somebody is attracted to Krishna as a lover or as a child or as a friend, and the cows treat him as a master. So in whatever way we are eager to render service to him, Krishna is a first class reciprocator of the devotee's love. He reciprocates with the devotee. In this way, Prahlad's glories are spoken here, that Prahlad will be such a great devotee. He will see the Lord constantly within his heart, and he will also see him without. And in this way, he'll become a Mahabhagavat, and he'll bring great glory to the whole dynasty. Like that, it is glorified. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you.